Chapter 19. Primetime. It has been my observation that most people get ahead during the time that others waste time. Henry Ford. Primetime is about maximizing productivity during the period when brain power is at peak capacity. The primetime viewpoint aims at the most fundamental of systems, our own actions. Here is the opportunity to exert tight control over the most potent primary system at your disposal, yourself. Primetime has two components. The first has to do with your most effective time of day due to biological makeup. Let's call it biological primetime, or BPT. The other component has to do with what you do with your time. This is mechanical primetime, or MPT. The primetime concept is mind-numbingly elementary and has everything to do with Occam's foundational premise that the simplest solution is invariably the correct solution. Like all work the system fundamentals, the unadorned logic makes it easy to understand. The ephemeral nature of biological primetime. First, let's talk about BPT. We function at maximum effectiveness just a few hours within a 24-hour day. It is important to take advantage of this interesting facet of human performance. To illustrate, I am a morning person. Over a period of 2 years, 6 days a week, I have written 95% of this book between the hours of 5 a.m. and 11 a.m. I write at this time because my energy level is at peak and my thinking is sharp. But that's me. Your BPT could occur later in the day. Because my BPT quality and speed are never better than during early and mid-morning, I avoid squandering it on television news, exercise, or reading. I spend it only on my most important projects, the projects that promote freedom and peace. By noon, my critical thinking ability is declining and my energy slumps. By 2 p.m., it's hard for me to keep my eyes open. If I miss or squander my daily 6 hours of biological prime time, that's a full day's peak creative allotment wasted. In the early to mid-afternoon, I tend to non-essential or less mind-intensive activities. I humbly accept my afternoon downturn because it's just a mechanical phenomenon, a sine wave low point, a decreased performance period that has nothing to do with my overall intelligence or worth. Because my car is out of gas does not mean it needs repair. If a peak performance is required during my low ebb period, I exercise or find some other non-chemical way to hold my peak. I get a second wind at 4 p.m. that lasts a few hours. In all probability, these ebbs and flows are genetic. Both my mother and my father share the same pattern. Linda's BPT lags behind mine by about 4 hours. She is devastatingly effective from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., but she's a zombie, her words, at 6 a.m. Her second wind comes in the evening around 8 p.m. and lasts 3 hours or so. As we go through the day, there is an overlap. It can be amusing as we simultaneously hit our individual highs and lows. For the one bottoming out, it's an exercise in humility. For the one reaching the peak, it's a demonstration of mental incisiveness. We joke about it. When is your biological prime time? Analyzing the why of personal BPT is not important. What is vital to know is when it occurs. If you are a night person, you'll slowly wake up in the morning, cruise gently into the day, and gradually work up your head of steam. If this is you, zealously protect these midday and evening BPT hours because, unlike those whose BPT is in the early morning, you will be challenged by the world's demands and distractions. They will be in your face, making it a chore for you to concentrate. Turn the cell phone off and shut the door, or disappear in a library or coffee shop. Protect yourself. What is your BPT? Stand outside yourself and observe your energy level over the course of a week or so. Note when you are most motivated, positive, and energized, and when you do little more than stumble around. The downturns are the easiest to pinpoint. They can hit like a hammer. You must be rested, relaxed, and healthy when you do this. You'll figure it out with no problem unless you are a habitual user of mood adjusters such as coffee, alcohol, antidepressants, or other legal or illegal substances. Morning coffee, for instance, thoroughly masks the BPT energy cycle. If you are addicted and wish to stop drinking it in order to pinpoint your personal BPT, you know this already. Expect some mental depression and headaches. My experience with caffeine is that it is a 16-hour top-to-bottom drug. People who are mildly addicted need it in the morning to counteract the withdrawal symptoms of the previous day's indulgence. But after their morning dose, they can get through the afternoon and evening without it. Removing 90% of the withdrawal effects of mild addiction takes 3 or 4 weeks of total abstinence. If you are a heavy caffeine drinker, you drink it all day, my condolences. Quitting is going to be tough. But if you can abstain for those 3 or 4 weeks, you might decide to quit permanently. Hang tough, because if you can break the habit, you will be able to ride your body's natural rhythms and will find that downtimes are best addressed with more sleep, not a chemical boost. There is another benefit to getting through the day without dependence on a state of mind adjuster: personal pride in facing the world cold turkey. In my life, am I completely clean? No. I enjoy a cup of coffee now and then, and during my trips to Pakistan for NGO work, a jet-lagged body slam of 12 time zones, a small dose of Valium helps me to sleep until my body adjusts. Managing your biological prime time. BPT is when you should create your strategic objective, general operating principles, and working procedures. Of course, after your initial work the system documentation is complete, BPT will continue to be there for whatever takes focus, whatever takes the most concentration. You will learn to cherish these golden hours. Every day, the remaining non-BPT hours are available for taking care of less demanding activities and for recharging the biological, psychological, and social batteries. These are the hours for napping, iPods, periodicals, movies, yard work, exercise, and time with friends. The non-primetime hours are a reward for the primetime hours that were well spent. Both periods are equally gratifying. One-day chunks of life. The Work the System methodology calls for breaking complexity into workable components, so it makes sense to reduce time into one-day manageable chunks. It is easier to master one day at a time. Plan each day carefully, pay attention to linear details, and watch the hours quickly pass as you work toward your goals, riding the ebb and flow of your energy cycle. At the end of the day, look back and evaluate your accomplishments. Take what you learned and apply it to your next day chunk. Is this you? For too many men and women, this is their 24-hour cycle. Shortly after waking, external demands of work and family kick in. A dose of caffeine generates an artificial morning prime time, no matter the natural biological prime time cycle. The fray begins and the schedule takes over. The mindset is, there aren't enough hours to do what must be done. The day is spent whacking moles, and any plans for system improvement remain amorphous and ill-defined. There is so much to do and so little time to do it. In the evening, the caffeine buzz is transmuted into nervousness, and alcohol is applied to calm things down. That night, deep sleep suffers because of the lingering effects of the day's mood adjusters. This is a serious consideration because every night a minimum quantity of deep sleep is necessary for solid mental and physical functioning the next day. As time goes on, sleep debt increases, and until it is paid back hour for hour, performance and mood suffer. The next morning, the repercussions of long-term sleep deprivation combined with alcohol and caffeine withdrawal begin anew, and another caffeine pick-me-up is mandatory if anything is to be accomplished. It goes on and on, day after day, and phew! The result is a wired, nervous, and exhausted treadmill human being, just another rat in the rat race. It is understandable why many Western adults take yet another step, trying to find peace in antidepressants. Here is where things really begin to get shaky. Notwithstanding sleep deprivation, how can anyone be cutting-edge effective with caffeine, alcohol, and antidepressants circulating in their body? Within this classic Western world cycle, is there any hope for an unadulterated BPT focus each day? In the majority of cases, not without some serious effort. So for most, the magical BPT hours remain a mystery, muddled by uncontrolled external demands, exhaustion, and mood-altering substances. But not for you. If you don't want it to be that way, you can clean things up, discover when your biological prime time occurs, and then discipline yourself to use it properly. Never waste your BPT. Universal ups and downs. For the population as a whole, and despite individual variations, a general surge of energy occurs during two periods of the day. The first is in the morning around 8 a.m., and extends maybe another 5 hours. The early to late afternoon hours are low-key, which is the reason much of the world takes a nap after lunch. Around 6 p.m., things pick up again and a secondary surge begins, lasting several hours. At around 9 p.m., mental sharpness begins to decline again and it's time to get ready for bed. This universal cycle is part of human biology, and whether you are a morning person or a night person, your personal sine wave peaks and lows will intermingle with the universal pattern. Mechanical prime time and the real business. MPT, on the other hand, is the time spent in system improvement, building primary systems such as a business or a career. It's what you do with your time. With some notable exceptions that I will discuss, it is not the time spent doing a job for money or producing the product or service. Whatever you do, if you wish to create freedom and prosperity, you must spend as much time as possible in the mechanical prime time zone. Unlike biological prime time, which happens automatically, whether we are ready to take advantage of it or not, mechanical prime time exists only if we create it. Many people never experience MPT because they don't know what it is, or if they do, they are too busy killing fires to go there. Most just stumble into it occasionally. Let's define mechanical prime time through the back door by discussing my rather strict definition of a real business. This interpretation presumes there are but two positions in life. Either one is the boss or one isn't the boss. One either owns the enterprise or one works for the enterprise. The obligatory caveat. Can a person be both? Sort of. We'll get to that. In a real business, the owner is not the one physically generating the product or service. This can be a bitter pill to swallow, but it is difficult to dispute that if you are doing the work of creating the actual product or service, you're working a job. You own the job, not the business. Yes, even with attendant high income and prestige, doctors, attorneys, consultants, celebrities, and professional athletes have jobs, not businesses. Don't get me wrong here, a job is not a bad thing, offering some real advantages over my rigid definition of a business. We'll get to that soon, too. The key indicator of a job is that one has to show up. Not so with a business. A true business operates with cursory supervision from the owner, churning out profits as its own primary system, its own organism, self-sufficient and independent. Think, the dollar bills keep materializing while the owner is elsewhere. If you are a professional and have other professionals working for you, and without your direct input, they are accomplishing goals you have set out for them, this portion of your life is a business, and the cursory management time you spend dealing with it is mechanical prime time. In contrast, the time spent with patients or clients is production work, so that part of what you do is a job, not mechanical prime time. If you must trot out into left field at specific dates and times as a New York Yankee, or be on location as the star of a feature film, that's a job, albeit a very good job. Here's another example of a job versus a real business, real estate sales. If the real estate professional is selling property and living on the income, that's a job. However, if a portion of those commissions is being invested in rental properties or bare lots, that part is a business. MPT is the time spent doing the legwork of acquiring property for the personal portfolio, not time spent showing up to sell or list property. The defining question. During the workday, no matter what you are doing, look at each action you take and ask yourself if it is contributing to making more and working less. As you analyze your actions, it's the moment-to-moment mindset that matters most. The day you get it and switch your focus to the blow-by-blow mechanics of daily life, while leaving aside theory and wishful thinking, freedom and wealth will begin to materialize. It's your job and your business. If you are a creative person making a living in art or performing, for example, a professional athlete, a doctor, an attorney, an artist, or a consultant, or you are the centerpiece in some endeavor or another, yes, you have a job, but you also have a business. You are the business, and you carry it everywhere. You have a unique skill that is a blessing. You are a creator. But as you create, you must deal with the showing up challenges and the business requirements of managing the enterprise. You not only must do what you do as a creator, you also must manage accounting, purchasing, accounts receivable, advertising, customer service, public relations, and so on. And if you make your living as a celebrity, there is also the extra notoriety baggage that comes along with the package. This is the reason why, in an enterprise where the creator is doing the production and managing the details, life can be exhausting at the least and nightmarish at the worst. The goal is to use the mechanical prime-time mindset to find ways to minimize the management tasks and burdens so focus can remain on creative efforts. Constantly ask the question, what must I do right now to build this job into a business? Mental positioning. If you are a charter boat captain taking fishermen out on the ocean every day, while every night you must hunker down to do the books, recognize that you have a job. And if this job makes you unhappy because of the lack of freedom, then only by taking the outside and slightly elevated, this is a job, not a business, vantage point, will you be able to devise a future in which others are piloting the boat and doing the books. This mental positioning will allow you to visualize assembling the pieces in a way that will remove you from the production, thus ending the long hours and securing the peace and prosperity you want. The beauty of holding a traditional job.
Most people have jobs, and as of this reading, there is not a general revolt against the concept. In any society, it is a revered position, one that carries a certain, it's a good feeling to be part of the team, camaraderie. It is understood in democratic and socialist states alike that the people who are out there working jobs are the bedrock of the society. They keep the wheels turning. For you, having a traditional job is ideal if any one or more of the following are of high personal importance. It is a relief to be able to leave the job at the end of the day and not have a single work-related worry on your mind. You abhor the idea of managing the extra degree of financial risk, uncertainty, and headaches that can come with a business. In your job, you are doing what you love, feel a high sense of self-esteem, and simply don't want things to change. You are building something of value in your job, and the future looks bright. The job situation is the only way you can obtain the necessary resources to do the thing you truly love, flying a jet, participating in politics, for example. You value the social aspect of being surrounded by peer employees. For the moment, you must survive as you prepare for independence down the line. You are making more money than you require, creating a future of freedom just from the assets you are stashing away. With your skill set, because of your physical location or for whatever reason, there is no opportunity elsewhere. You crave the security of insurance, retirement fund, savings plan, steady paycheck, etc. If you enjoy your job and don't want to be on your own, know that the MPT mindset is a tremendous asset. It will provide you with a better understanding of the big picture of the organization. And with a clear vision of where the organization is headed, you can make a more potent contribution. Presuming that advancement is your goal, the mechanical prime-time mindset will energize the process. Beware of falling off the roof. Presume you are the sole proprietor of a chimney sweep company, and every day you climb up on a different roof. This makes you an integral component of the chimney sweep business system. You're gambling with the long term because when you least expect it, you may fall off the roof and be seriously injured. As a business owner worker, who will perform the production work when you are out of commission? Your time on the roof is not mechanical prime time. It's a job, and a dangerous job at that. Mechanical prime time is the time you spend finding someone else to climb up there on those roofs to clean chimneys. It's the time you spend thinking about how to extricate yourself from the mechanism in order to build it and make it self-sufficient. A self-contained entity of worth. Here's the great thing about owning a real business. Someday it can be sold as a packaged entity, a self-contained primary system. The ability of a business to generate income without the owner doing the actual production work is what endows a business with value beyond everyday cash flow. If you are a critical element in the generation of the product or the service, the need for your presence is going to be a problem when you want to sell what you've built. If you are a service provider and wish to retire, with just a customer list to sell as an asset and no one to perform the service, how much is that worth? Unquestionably, much less than you want it to be. But if you have people doing the production work and the organization cranks out a good monthly bottom line without physical input from you, your business will have solid, tangible worth to someone else. It will be a dollar bill machine for you while you own it, and for someone else who buys it later. The ability to churn out a black ink bottom line without the owner's immediate contribution means the business is its own organism, separate from the owner, with tangible worth as an independent entity. No, this doesn't mean you will create a business that won't need you. You will have to give it direction and make it efficient. Creating mechanical prime time. The charter boat captain or the chimney sweep can turn 80-hour work weeks into 40-hour work weeks, and then into 2-hour work weeks. Proper use of MPT gets one out of the boat or off the roof and turns a job into a business, a standalone dollar bill machine that has intrinsic value. For those in corporate management positions, the same mechanical prime time strategy accelerates the ladder climb. At the root of MPT, the owner-manager must spend the majority of time focused on building the business into self-sufficiency and on making it grow. Executing production is a distraction from what must be done to achieve independence and/or ascend the corporate ladder. To maintain MPT throughout the day, ask the following questions moment to moment. What should I be doing right now in order to grow the company or get a promotion? For the efforts required to create my product or do my job, how can I delegate or automate those efforts so they are done with maximum efficiency while taking as little of my time as possible? Again, the time spent delegating and/or automating is mechanical prime time. Steering the ship with biological prime time and mechanical prime time. Now, in my business, I simply steer the ship. There is a great income and the asset base grows. My BPT is carefully allocated to the actions that are most important for long-term gain, MPT tasks, which include reviewing and suggesting system refinements, occasional brief meetings with managers to provide whatever guidance or input they need, and envisioning and planning. My non-mechanical prime time tasks include handling payables, because overseeing expenditures is a smart thing for me to do, and updating and maintaining our website and blog, because I enjoy doing it. Of the brief time I spend on business issues, 90% of it is mechanical prime time. And no, I don't answer the phones or take deposits to the bank anymore. Here is the crux of prime time. Enormous advancement comes from spending the most alert periods of the day doing the most important system-building tasks. When you are not in biological prime time, if you feel like it, it's okay to focus on mechanical prime time tasks, the tasks that have to do with improving and growing your business and your life. High energy or low energy, keep your work activities pointed toward primary business building or career advancing activities per your critical documents. In your day, stay in mechanical prime time as long as possible. But remember, you must be balanced in order to avoid burnout. Have a life outside your work. Once you begin to see a reduction in time demands, you will be inspired to use BPT and MPT more efficiently. It's that cycle of increasing returns. Later, in your prime time, maybe it will be your choice to write a book or to get that easel out and paint again. You will have lots of time to do those kinds of things once the work the system methodology takes hold. In this moment, be wary. Once there is some progress, there will be no going back to the old ways. You will see that you are in control. You are building something good. Never again will you be the victim of unpredictable circumstance. Nevertheless, in this moment, be wary. You have not yet developed new good habits, and you are still prone to old bad habits. If the "my world is composed of systems" lightning bolt hasn't struck yet, all you have right now is feel-good theory. If this is the case, maybe go back and read the chapters in part 1 again. Even after the aha strikes, you will sometimes have to muscle your way through the initial documentation, especially when your energy levels are low. It takes maybe 8 weeks to form a new habit, so give yourself time. But then again, positive results will probably come sooner, and then your motivation will be powered by plain common sense, the most powerful motivator there is. A point-of-sale appreciation of life. I sit here writing these words on a Wednesday in November. It's noon, and I have been on task for 8 hours, working through and then past my usual biological prime time, and I am still at maximum throttle. It's one of those rare and exquisite maximum biological prime time days, perhaps because that's my topic today. I will work for a while more and then plug into my iPod and rake the lawn because that is both relaxing and satisfying. After that, Linda and I will go for a walk in the neighborhood. Then we'll see a movie. After the movie, we'll have dinner out. There is a Zen proverb, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood, carry water. It's perfect, really, as we immerse ourselves in the simple mechanics of what needs to be done right now, creating, adjusting, and maintaining systems. Chop wood, carry water. Sometimes we say to each other, this is it. It's a simple, happy way to remind ourselves this is the life we've envisioned and there is no need to pine for anything different. Life is as tangible as it can be when we just acknowledge it in the moment and agree that it is good. No matter where we are or what we're doing, this instant in time, this right now, is it. Any other time is not real. It's either memory or conjecture. For fleeting moments in the middle of working our systems, we withdraw a bit in order to celebrate the only true reality there is, this right now. And we're grateful. Illustration: taking time off from work. In this instance, we altogether eliminated a complex process, as always a delightful event, and replaced it with an automatic point-of-sale system. In the systems revision discussed here, we went back to a premise. Paid time off, PTO, is an employee benefit designed to keep staff satisfied and happy, but most of all, to encourage them to continue to work for Centratel. And working means showing up for work. There was a problem with our paid-by-the-hour staff's PTO arrangement. In theory, it sounded great when we first offered the benefit, but in the real-world application, it was terrible. First, it was a pain to calculate and administrate. Did our managers do their weekly job of tallying all eligible employee PTO hours and then submitting them? Did a TSR report his absence yesterday as PTO time? And beyond that, just how many hours are now available for him to use? Did the books accurately accumulate the new salesperson's PTO after her 90-day probation was finished? Second, our people used PTO hours in ways we did not intend. We had designed it for employees to get away from work once or twice a year in a way we could plan and schedule around. And our intent was that it would also be available to use for occasional sick days or appointments. But for many staff members, PTO was used as soon as it was accumulated and with short notice, a few hours here, a few hours there. Many times it was an excuse to be absent from work under the pretense of, I don't feel good today, and I think I have accumulated enough PTO to take the day off, so I am going to call in sick. It turned out that too often the hourly paid TSR did not have enough PTO available, and so they did not accumulate 40 hours of work for the week. For the staff member, this resulted in a smaller paycheck than expected. Furthermore, Centratel was understaffed. Third, errors in a complex administrative system invariably led to the granting of too much paid PTO, and over the years, it had been a substantial loss to the company's bottom line. What should we do? We dropped the old system altogether, adopting another much simpler one. Our point-of-sale principle was key in developing the new policy. We stopped the long-term accumulation of PTO. Instead, on each paycheck, we pay it as it is earned. Based on the number of hours worked in a given pay period, our accounting system automatically determines the paycheck's PTO amount. There is no more manual record keeping, and the employee knows where he or she stands at all times. There are no more errors. Can employees take vacations? Yes, they can take time off as they wish. but they know the time off has been paid in advance and there will be no paycheck while they are gone. Now, since employees earn their pay only when they work, absenteeism has been reduced 80%, manual administrative paperwork is eliminated, and there is no confusion. An outside and slightly elevated solution? Absolutely. Can you take a bird's eye view and see any systems of your life that are useless, or close enough to useless so that eliminating or drastically redesigning them would be a net positive?